Live from New York City, it's The Gary Noel Show. And now, your host, Gary Noel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noel, on the road. Today, we're going to talk about how a new type of B3, one that I introduced to this audience for the first time about 2 years ago, now is finally being recognized for how much it can slow down and reverse Alzheimer's and cognitive decline. Very important. And this comes from the National Institute of Aging. A lot more on health and healing today. And then for all the millennials, or the parents of millennials, or friends of millennials, a millennial speaking out about what it means to be a millennial today and why they have to have a reality check. They have to have a turn in the direction of how they're functioning, otherwise they're going to end up with some really bad outcomes. I think you'll find this a very provocative, insightful, and interesting commentary. I'm also going to share a commentary today from a guest we had recently on the program, and that is Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson. He was the former ex-Bush official. He was Secretary of State Colin Powell's top right-hand person. So he's going to share some thoughts on, quote, "We are the death merchant of the world." He condemns the military-industrial complex, and he's saying, quote, "It is much more pernicious than Eisenhower ever thought." And this is from Ben Norton's Salon. I thought it was very important. It's short, but good for him, a true progressive, not abiding by the rules of silence or obfuscation that the corporate Democrat and liberal community is enjoying at this moment. Also today, I'll be challenging the corporate left. I'm going to give my own commentary that I wrote last night, but also Chris Hedges, Truth Dig, the bankruptcy of the American left. And I don't believe we have a more articulate and insightful spokesperson who has been there, seen it all, and now can give us in-depth insights into what went wrong with the left. We already know what went wrong with the right, so this is particularly revealing. And then, time permitting, you also have a chance to hear how Big Agra, that has befriended the Clinton administration, Bush Sr., Bush Jr., Obama, and now Trump, has given us GMOs and told us they are safe. This is a separate independent report showing they're not safe and what's wrong with them. So we have all that to share with you. Let's begin. When I counsel people about slowing down and reversing the aging process, there's 6 principles that I share. First, happiness. That is the foundation upon which every single thing I do rests. Last night I counseled 2 physicians, 2 board-certified orthodox physicians who contacted my office about terminal cancer in their immediate family. And I spent time giving them protocol. And one of the physicians says, "Do you have people that have been successful that you could have call me, or I could call them just to see what they did?" And I said, "Sure." So I gave him contact information with 2 people with end-stage cancers who reversed them. And he said, "I don't understand part of this protocol. I don't understand the foundation." Well, it's based upon happiness. Therefore, the most single important nutrient you can put into your mind and body is happiness. So then break down happiness. What did that constitute? What does it mean? So we had this whole long conversation upon the power of happiness in liberating the innate healing capacity of every cell. And the diet was important, plant-based diet, secondary. Supplements were of secondary importance. And so that's number one. If you're not happy, you're not going to be healthy. It's just not possible. Number 2 is purpose. Why am I alive? Am I just going through ritualized routines every day? Am I just waking up in the morning and starting to juggle all the different responsibilities that I feel I alone have to do. In other words, without me, the world would end. Well, Gandhi came and went, Martin Luther King came and went, Spinoza, Eurydicles, Maimonides, one of the 31 different Christs, Muhammad, they all came and went, Buddha, and we still go on. So you should understand that when you're juggling all these responsibilities, sooner or later, every single thing in your life will end, including your responsibilities. The trouble is, we think that we're the only ones capable of handling this and that we're personally responsible for everything, including for everyone else. It's a big mistake. So purpose is the second foundation of health and healing. And that's why people sometimes who've come to my retreats are questioning, why do I start off talking about the meaning of life instead of which juices to take? Because I could give you 1,000 juices, but what good is it if you're a miserable, angry, depressed, anxious human being with no purpose? It'll just be like water running through your fingers. But purpose really boosts our immune system, our sense of determination, our commitment to higher disciplines, spiritual disciplines, emotional disciplines, physical disciplines, environmental disciplines, being conscious of what we do, how to dispose of it. That's the second pillar. The third pillar is no more excuses. If you look at anyone who is having problems in their life, more often than not, it's what they resist changing. I can't tell you how many people I know who are involved with clutter, hoarding, people you would never suspect. And they never invite anyone to their home or apartment because then that would be revealed. So you would think that they were, you know, very together people when you meet them on the outside. It's what's on the inside that determines who a person is, not how they manifest it externally. And more often than not, they resist. If you don't change your diet, you're resisting. If you don't look for happiness, you're resisting. If you're not looking for how to manifest love in yourself and hence share it with others, you're resisting. If you're not looking for the right person that will be in office and use the power you've given him for the benefit of the common and all, you're resisting. What are you resisting? You're resisting doing your homework and hence engaging intentionally and indeed with malice aforethought. You're committing a crime against reason. So you'll vote for a Clinton or Obama or a Bush or any of the presidents we had going clear back to Eisenhower. You'd vote for these clowns, these criminals. And then you're all in. You're part of a gang. You're part of a mob. All sense of comportment to logic and truth is pushed aside. Just like you're seeing now with the entire left completely, mindlessly cooperating in covering up crimes by the deep state and protecting the FBI and the CIA and the national security agencies and the Justice Department, who have spent their entire careers assaulting the rights of each of those people who would have recognized that at some time. You don't do that unless you have gone to the dark side of your being. So when you have the idea that you're not going to make any more excuses for wrong choices, when you can simply pull back and say, I made a bad choice. That was stupid. Might have been the wrong career. Might have been in the wrong place, wrong relationship. Whatever it is, honor the fact that you engaged in it, what lessons you learned from it, and why that will not be a choice you'll make again. Then you can redeem the lesson from wrong choices. So no more excuses allows you that. That's the next tier. And then you get to the last two, which I'll discuss in depth on an upcoming program. Anyhow, I go over this with all the people I counsel, but in depth, and then tie it into their own personal lives and how they got to where they're at. And then they began to see it Once you're at the top of a mountain looking down, you get to see everything. But when you're way down there, you're like Sisyphus. You don't see anything except that enormous weight of the responsibilities. You're trying to push that ball out of a canyon. And every day you get somewhere up, but never to the top, and it rolls back down again. So there's a time when we got to stop all of our fruitless ritual efforts and be smart. Working hard is never virtue. Working smart is. So when I explain to people how the brain ages, how the body ages, how we don't age at the same rate, one of the nutrients that I told you about, if you remember, that would repair your brain's DNA and help your body's DNA was called NAD. NAD is a nicotinamide, adenine dinucleotide. That's a metabolite, and it's vital for cellular energy and stem cell renewal, self-renewal, and resistance to neuron stress and DNA repair. Well, in Alzheimer's disease, the brain's usual DNA repair activity is impaired. That leads to mitochondrial dysfunction and lower neuron production and increased neurological dysfunction and then inflammation. So, this is the National Institutes of Aging. By the way, they had the head of the National Institute on Aging. I filmed for a special I did that appeared on PBS stations, and it was all about power aging. And the man was very open to all the different scientific studies I was showing him that showed that the power of diet and nutrients and fasting to reduce the aging process. Here's what they say, and this was just published in this week in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, our highest, most respected scientific body in America. Quote, the supplement NR, that is the, which is a form of vitamin B3, prevented neurological damage and improved cognitive and physical function in a new mouse model of Alzheimer's disease. The results of the study conducted by researchers of the National Institutes of Aging, part of the National Institutes of Health, suggest a potential new target for treating Alzheimer's disease. There you are, because that is NAD, something you all found out about 2 years ago. And now, finally, they're catching up, which is good. Now, they still have to do their work on L-carnosine and grapeseed extract and resveratrol and pycnogenol and other anti-aging nutrients that go along with PPQ, with DNA. There's a bunch. But I'm glad to see they have finally acknowledged it, and now it's no longer controversial because once the National Academy of Sciences publishes it, and once the National Institutes of Aging, which is under the National Institutes of Health, acknowledges it, then all the physicians, nurses, pharmacists, healthcare practitioners in America will then be given the green light to go ahead and offer it. That's all good. Also, another study, this was from the University of Exeter, as well as King's College, which is in London, dementia care improved by just 1 hour of social interaction each week. Wow. Increasing the amount of social interaction for people with dementia living in care homes to just 1 hour a week improves quality of life when combined with personalized care. This is a large-scale trial led by the University of Exeter and King's College and Oxford Health at Oxford University. And this is what they found. Now, previous research has found that in many care homes, residents have little or none of the social interactions per day. In fact, are you ready for this? Listen carefully, because this is not different than America. Under 2 minutes per day of social interaction, 120 seconds per day. Wow. That's like almost 5 million Americans now are living on under $3 a day. And you think, how's that possible? Well, we're going to find out. I'm going to play you today where I took my camera crew into the woods of New Jersey to visit homeless people to see how they're functioning. You can watch that later today on Facebook. Now you're listening to the audio part, but then we edited in the whole video clip so you can watch it as well. By the way, I'm building a state-of-the-art studio in New York. It'll look as good as CNN or, actually, I don't like CNN. Fox has a much better-looking studio, and that's coming at you, where we're going to play a lot of where you can go online and download all kinds of interviews that we've done that are sitting in archives. Thousands of them. Thousands. It's a very exciting project. So if you want to know about cancer treatments or arthritis or disease or any of the issues I cover, everyone that I've ever filmed will be there, and you can just go to the general topic and then look at all the different names, select the person and the therapy, and then watch what they have to say. So I had this idea over the weekend, and then I thought, how am I going to do it and make it work? And then I've come up with a plan. So we're going to start it very shortly. So anyhow, this large study found that when you have social interactions, when you get people together so they can talk, it makes a big difference in them feeling some measure of connection and that they're still essential. So just depriving people, and we do. If you've ever been to most nursing homes or assisted living centers, they're like old person's gulags. They're terrible. And by the way, there's one person in this audience, possibly listening today, who is a former top person on Wall Street. And when I say top, I mean one of the total top in all of American finance. And who came to a retreat and, you'd find this interesting, was going to leave after the first night, but didn't. And told me this on the last day when they were getting on the bus to go to the airport. They said, this person came over and says, can I speak with you? Everything is sure. So stepped aside and said, I was going to leave after the first lecture you did. Why? Well, because you were saying some very unkind things about my close personal friends. In fact, one of those people you mentioned I just had lunch with last week, and another one of those people you mentioned I had vacation with this year. Who are the people I was mentioning, and what did I say that was? Well, only at the end of the week did I realize that you showed me something that was right in front of me and I had just been living in denial of. I was absolutely in cognitive denial. I made my money by buying corporations, downsizing them, without any thought of what happens to those people who's lost their jobs. I only looked to the other side. How much money are we making off this? And now I realize you are right. You said these people are economic genocidalists, the purchase and acquisition people, the equity partners, and who make billions. They don't need the money, but they continue to just strip the guts out of the working class in this country. And they're rewarded and praised. Invited, for example, one was the president of Channel 13 in New York City. They're bored. So I'm getting out of this. I saw the light. And the person did. So a project that I told them they should do, and I would help them with it, is put together the first holistic assisted living center in the world where people who can't live any longer completely viably on their own with quality of life come to a place, and unlike the current places where you have your own room and you go down and have common food in the cafeteria, and there's a, you know, that's just about it. There's a nurse and nothing else. And you have things done for you. You can have your laundry done, your room cleaned, your meals prepared, but otherwise you can, you know, watch television, talk on the phone, but there's nothing else to your life. I've envisioned a place where people come to what I call quality of life centers instead of assisted living, quality of life. And there, they come to rejuvenate to get back into life. So you have a complete detoxification rejuvenation program. So every meal is a vegan, juicing all day long. There's an animal sanctuary in the same environment, so they're bonding with animals that have been abandoned, abused, but are now loved and rescued. They have their challenge. They must attend classes every day. The classes can be learning a new language, learning a new word, learning to play an instrument, creating, writing, art, something that is no longer passive but very proactive. They get holistic medical therapy. Everyone gets hyperbaric oxygen therapy, intravenous vitamins. They get special nutrient and detoxification, cleansing out their metals and toxins from their body. They're exercised every day, mandatory. They get all this in a beautiful environment where they can go out and learn botany and things such as growing and arranging aromatic plant combinations and bonsais, grooming bonsais. Things that all day, every day, they're in a beautiful, tranquil environment. They're eating healthy foods, juicing, cleansing, detoxing, holistic intervention. And within a year, they should be healthy enough to return to a life with all these lessons learned, knocking probably 10 years off their aging in the process. So that's my goal. And let's hope that this person uses this as a way of using all their contacts and financial prowess to make it happen. And we would film the whole thing and then at the end of a year show the results and then let everyone else in the world do it in their own communities. This is just the template. This is just to show that it can be done. And then let us save the lives and appreciably increase the quality of lives for hundreds of millions of people worldwide. That just came out just now when I was thinking about this. And finally today on health and nutrition, changes in the mouse breast tissue after exposure to fracking chemicals. This is from the University of Massachusetts. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Endocrinology. And in a study today that was released, environmental scientists at the University of Massachusetts Amherst report that they observed changes in the mammary, that's your breast gland, development of female mice exposed during early development to the chemicals commonly used in the gas hydrofracking. Now, remember, with more than 17 million Americans now living within 1 mile of an oil or gas well, there's concern, or should be, about the possible contamination of surface and groundwater by trace minerals and radioactive isotopes and other inorganic compounds released in these areas. And so for those like Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, who are strong supporters of the hydrofracking in the oil industry, you put 17 million Americans at risk, and you had no right to do that. That's the latest on health and nutrition. We're 23 minutes into our program. I'm going to take a brief break and come right back at you. Many of us are very concerned of what happened to the left, the so-called most compassionate, most concerned, most humanistic group, those who consider themselves liberals. And this is not about all liberals. Let's be very clear and not parse words. There are corporate liberals, considered now the corporate left. Those are the Obama and Clinton and Bernie Sanders liberals. And then there are the historical and true liberals who have not compromised on their principles. More often than not, those have morphed into what we now call our progressive movement. Here's my concern, and it's a big concern. If you really cared about what is happening in the world, you would hold those accountable for what they promise to what they actually perform. So if you're going to become the most powerful person in the world by being the President of the United States, male or female is irrelevant, it's power. Shouldn't you be held accountable by the very people who said, yes, change we can rely upon, change we can believe in, change we can count on, we're for you, we're giving you the keys to the kingdom, please honor your word. And because we then substitute our entrapment of charm and style and very carefully intoned comments where life is lived through poetic euphemisms, we believe in them. And then one day we find out, like this morning, when Homeland Security released a memo from the top woman lawyer in the FBI, who has been a part of the ongoing, debate about Donald Trump. And Trump is really insignificant in the outcome of this. What is significant is if it weren't for Trump running for president, if anyone else would run for president against Hillary Clinton, none of this would have come up. But this is one of those situations where you have to allow a POTUS like Trump to bring out the hyper overreaction, almost a kinetic reaction, of those in power because they feared they could not control him. They knew they could control Clinton and always have. They knew they could control Obama. They didn't know if they could control Trump, and that's why they wanted to plan to keep him from becoming elected and then bring him down if he were elected. But they had to have a uniform body of people speaking on their behalf, and hence because they control, the deep state controls the media, and we're talking about 15,000 news outlets for the media. Now, 15,000 outlets means there are hundreds of thousands of individuals within that, and I've given you the details on that in the past, but just for your edification, General Electric, Comcast, NBC, Universal Pictures, Focus Features, News Corp, Fox, Wall Street Journal, New York Post, Disney, ABC, ESPN, Pixar, Miramax, Marvel, Viacom, MTV, and SET, CMT, Paramount, Time Warner, CNN, HBO, Time Magazine, Warner Brothers, CBS, Showtime, Smithsonian Channel, NFL, and 60 Minutes. So these six corporations collectively control 15,000 news outlets. So they control our perception of reality. So if they say there's weapons of mass destruction and we cannot have a cloud, mushroom cloud over America is our first indication, as was said, then we think it's okay to go ahead and do something. If we're told that in Libya, Gaddafi is about to murder 500,000 of his own citizens in Benghazi, all lies. But when you say it enough times and you have enough people saying it, then we think, okay, go ahead and stop him. But this has been true throughout our entire history of how people in power have then controlled the media and therefore they control the talking points. So this morning it was stated by Homeland Security in a memo that now Grassley has and has released that the top woman lawyer for the FBI, in a correspondence with her affairs partner in the FBI, who is running all the research and all the investigation on Trump in the Russian collusion investigation, which has produced zero evidence of collusion, where any evidence has come forward that's credible. But here's what was in the memo. She said that POTUS, that's POTUS means, for those who are not aware of it, President of the United States, wants to be kept in the kept aware of everything happening. Okay. Now, those two reported directly to Comey. Comey reported directly as head of the FBI to Barack Obama. So now for the first time, we see the link goes directly to Barack Obama. So everyone in positions of power knew what was going on. And also when you're thinking that, gee whiz, Justice Department, Attorney General, all these people who knew, how could they all know and the president not know? Well, now we know they knew. There's the smoking memo. So step back for a moment and just look at Barack Obama. Set aside the fact that he had a charming personality, a good sense of humor. He was athletic. He was likable. Now look at the substance of his being. On militarism, didn't he promise all of us that he would get out of Afghanistan and train the Afghan forces to replace us? Reality. We are still in Afghanistan in the longest war in American history, struggling against the Taliban, and the Taliban now controls 70% of the country. And although the Afghan forces have increased a couple of hundredfold, they are no match for the Taliban, nor the United States. Promise a new START treaty to reduce nuclear weapons. Reality? No nuclear reduction, but adding $1 trillion for new and improved nuclear arms. Promise, close Guantanamo. Reality, kept it open. Although the prison population has been reduced by 76%, not because they were found guilty, but because there was no credible evidence against them. How did that happen? The vast majority of prisoners in Guantanamo were innocent. But what happened was that the CIA, on the ground in Afghanistan, told the warlords, who were the drug lords fighting the Taliban, get us people and you'll get a bounty. And so they started turning people in to get bounties, large cash bounties. They ended up collectively getting hundreds of millions of dollars in innocent people. Look at it simply. If you have someone that you feel is guilty, bring him to trial. Show the evidence. Let them defend themselves, either acquit them or find them guilty. We didn't do that. How can you keep someone in prison with no trial, not present any evidence against them, for 15 years? That goes against everything involving habeas corpus and our rights. But we said they didn't have rights. All right? Also, Barack Obama contributed significantly to deregulation of the arms exports to expand U.S. weapons market. And some of the largest arms deals were to rogue states such as Israel, Saudi Arabia, under Obama and Hillary Clinton. Obama ignited a new 21st century Cold War with Russia. He increased sanctions and began a new nuclear arms race. He engaged in interventions of regime changes in Paraguay, Honduras, Libya, Egypt, at the Arab Spring, Ukraine, and Syria, and in Yemen, all under him. In our worst economic situation in 2008 to 2010, Obama surpassed Bush and Reagan in defense spending with the largest combined budget since World War II. We didn't need money going into the arms manufacturer. We need money to bail out small business and stop with executive order home foreclosures. He chose not to help the homes owners, he didn't stop a single home foreclosure. In fact, he put special operation forces increased in deployment around the world. How many countries did Obama make sure we had attack forces in? 75 countries in the world. With the federal government, he promised more transparency of government and ethics and information. Reality? Obama became the most secretive and least transparent administration in history. Obama's Attorney General Eric Holder adopted all Bush arguments that would discard legal cases against the government, thereby expanding the definition and content of state secrets. He expanded warrantless spying and surveillance across more agencies. And he also doubled down on the National Defense Authorization Act, meaning any American could be arrested for any reason, could be assassinated without showing any probable cause that person committed a crime. You could be imprisoned. You could be tortured. You could be sent to a black op operation in another country, and you had no rights. He also expanded warrantless spying and surveillance on all Americans. Every single American was spied upon, no exceptions, not a single human being in America was not spied upon illegally under Obama. He promised tougher rules on lobbyists and former federal officials so they wouldn't be in that turnstile going from the FDA back to Monsanto, then back to the FDA. He said no lobbyist would work on regulations. And in reality, no. He actually had more lobbyists visit him at the White House to write Obamacare, mainly the insurance industries, than any other president on the insurance lobby. He promised to unite and bring Democrats and Republicans together. Nope. Because of him, we got Trump. That's reality. If you think that there are the 63 million people who voted for Trump, if you think that they're deplorables, then you're engaging in rank racism and bigotry. Go out as I do. Meet these people. See how many of them were rank and file Democrat unionists who were betrayed by Clinton with NAFTA and GATT and the World Trade Organization. And no one helped them. Decade after decade, and finally they just gave up. And if nothing else, they voted for Trump because they wanted someone who would stand up to the establishment. They didn't care about his ethics. They didn't care about what he said, how sexist or racist he was. They didn't care about that. All they cared about was everyone who was smooth-talking and who looked presidential and sounded presidential didn't have our interests at stake. Look at election funding. He promised a pledge to preserve public financing of elections. He reneged. He personally raised more private monies than any president in history. And warrantless surveying, he promised to reduce and restrict warrantless wiretapping. Yet he signed the U.S. Freedom Act to halt bulk gathering, but also was ineffective due to loopholes that he knew were there. And he wooed the big IT and tech firms into spying and surveillance games. He worked with Facebook, Google, and Microsoft on spying on Americans. On health care, he promised single-payer health care. That's what people forget. That's what the Democrats forget. That's what the corporate liberals forget. Obama promised single-payer health care. He gave us Obamacare, which was created exclusively, 100% by the insurance industry. And 19 states still refused the expansion. He promised to cut family insurance premiums $2,500. They more than doubled that. He promised to reform the Veterans Administration. He didn't. He promised to create 5 million green jobs. He only created 2.5 jobs through tax credits for renewables. He promised to reduce oil consumption by 35%. Oil barrels burned daily has increased under Obama. He promised to create a cap and trade policy to reduce global warming. Nothing. He also expanded hydrofracking, promoted clean coal. He attempted, now Democrats are indignant of Trump in his State of the Union address saying that, you know, support clean coal. There is no such thing. It's an oxymoron. And Obama knew it, but Obama was promoted. Remember, Obama was selected, like Bill Clinton was selected before they were elected. They were groomed. And a woman named Pitzker, whose family owns the big hotel chain from Chicago, he would later appoint her to his cabinet on commerce, as commerce secretary. She had no business being in there. She was not qualified. In fact, are you aware that Obama met with one of the top people at Citigroup to select his cabinet from the group of people selected by Citigroup? So Citigroup actually selected Obama's cabinet. He attempted to initiate a nuclear power renaissance because he was surrounded by pro-nuclear people in his administration. In 2006, there was a bill that would permit companies to conceal their nuclear leaks in the public. And also, he supported GMOs in the DARK Act. He went against organic produce. He promised to label GMOs when he was running for office, but he broke that. In fact, more former Monsanto and DuPont officials and lobbyists were in his administration than there was in Bill Clinton's. In the economy, he promised foreclosure prevention? No, his troubled asset relief program was a colossal failure. He promised an urban renewal of our inner cities and ghetto neighborhoods. All he did was degrade poor communities into further being slums. Go to Baltimore. Go to Detroit. Go to Appalachia. Go to Camden, New Jersey. I've been to all these places many times. They're getting worse, not better. He bailed out Wall Street. He bailed out General Motors. He bailed out Chrysler. But he didn't bail out a single U.S. American citizen. He closed the door on negotiations for the creation of the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the TTIP, all done in private. There was no transparency. That was Obama. He opposed Canadian attempts to alter NAFTA. He was against Occupy Wall Street. He promised to secure the borders and more detention of immigrants and returning to native countries. He sent them back to Honduras, where many were subsequently killed, than any president, including Bush. He increased border patrols by $600 million and started drone surveillance over the U.S. and Mexico border. He prosecuted more whistleblowers and more journalists than any president in history. And he also targeted journalists for free speech using the National Defense Authorization Act. Obama expanded upon Bush. The president has authority to decide on terrorism suspects' guilt without any legal process. He would have his Tuesday kill meetings where he would meet with his top national security advisor and decide who to kill that day. No warrants, no trial, just him deciding he had the right to kill people. And he did. Obama's main point person for decision-making of targeting killings, he used unmanned drones. And then the Patriot Act, one of the most egregious acts in history. It shouldn't be there at all. In 2009, he pushed for the renewal of key Patriot Act provisions, making it law. 2010, after removing the existing language regarding protection of civil liberties. Now, in the original Patriot Act, there were protections for civil liberties. Obama took them out. He expanded rapid privatization of our schools under that was Ron Emanuel's pet project. He promoted Common Core. All that does is dumb down students for standardized testing. And he created a new emergence of school segregation. Now, I could go on, but I don't want to limit what I have to share in this program today. So that is what we should understand about when you believe in an image. And the entire left is supporting the image. Why? Because of the millions and millions of jobs that you're going to keep and prosper from and benefit from as long as you don't go against the corporate Democrats, Obama and Clinton. Did you ever ask yourself why Obama allowed Hillary Clinton anywhere near his cabinet, let alone the third most important position in his cabinet, if not the second most important position in his cabinet? Because both of them are controlled by the deep state. I'm Gary Knoll. Those are my thoughts. Tomorrow I will share Chris Hedges. But we're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you from all over the world for listening in and sharing the information that we put out each day here. We're going to take just a few minutes now because our sister station in New York City, where I've been on for now it's going on 42 years, WBAI, is in the midst of a fund drive. Just started this week, and the station management asked me, would I help to promote an event that could bring them and will bring them in money? We've brought enough money in the last year to pay for about 3,000 premiums that the station didn't have to pay for. So what we're doing is in the second and third week of April, 2 months from now, we're going to be having a retreat. And a retreat is for healthy people who want time and quality for themselves just to chill out, relax, de-stress, laugh, have fun, swim in a saltwater pool, do aerobics, go out and enjoy the bucolic countryside, sit and watch the eagles soar. Yeah, there's a family of eagles that live where you're going to be. And watch the white swans swimming on the lake so gracefully, going over and petting a female donkey, listening to classes and workshops, being counseled. That's what happens. Let me take a moment just to let you hear some of the people that just came to a retreat. Excuse me, this is non-rehearsed, this is just them coming up to a telephone and saying, I just returned from a retreat. Let's listen to a few of them.
My name is Nita, and the Gary Knoll experience allows you to be shown that there are possibilities that are endless. There are no excuses here because Gary and the staff show you a way to achieve balance and harmony, which really gives you authentic bliss. We have vegan food that is unbelievable, exercise training that enriches our lives. And the most important thing is most of us listen to Gary and his lectures, and being with him helped to create a fantastic, life-changing experience that you should all try. And again, no excuses, just do it.
My name is Philip. The week I have had here has been one that has allowed me to see the things I thought before that would be really difficult and maybe not obtainable. I feel now I could reach them, that if I focus, I can make things happen. This place is very beautiful, and I realized, you know, it's all been, you know, done by somebody. It's something I could do, something like this. It's possible. I see the food that we ate was beautiful, healthy, delicious. That's also something I know I can do when I get back. And it's really, for me, it's been a week where I feel there's possibilities instead of before where I doubted and I never got anything done. I feel when I get back, I'll make more positive changes and be more focused. Thank you. I appreciate this experience.
Hi, my name is Ronnie. I am here at the Gary Knoll Health Retreat and having a wonderful time. I came down with really bad insomnia, and last night I slept peacefully for the first time in about 3 months, and my energy level is phenomenal. I was feeling like I needed to take a nap every day between 3 and 5 sometime, and now I'm going straight through till 9, 10 o'clock, still with plenty of energy, and I would highly recommend it for anyone. And as a health practitioner, I think it's a really wonderful thing to have all the insight and knowledge that Gary shares in his lectures, as well as all the healthy opportunities that you have here.
Hello, my name is Madeline, and I've been here at a retreat for 2 weeks, and I came in with a tremendous amount of inflammation in my viscera, in my belly, in my back, and I have no inflammation right now. Inflammation is way, way down. I also came in after three weeks of prednisone, which left me with a face that looked like a chipmunk, and that is completely gone. Rashes have gone away. Joint pain has gone away. A deeper connection to myself, greater inner strength, and ability to focus and be, what word would I use here? Have more passion for life and my future.
I've learned to acquire a more virtuous cycle of discipline and self-care again. Luann, the nurse, coached my health and attitude and structured my goals. John Q, the trainer, brought my body back to life. I didn't know that I had the power in my body. I had all sorts of conditions and restrictions, and now I can walk where I want to, bike where I want to. Valentina, my favorite chef, nourished my body and my heart. Elaine, the art therapist, stimulated my creativity and spiritual quest. Jan grounded me. And Gary, you made it all possible. I've learned that I've just begun to build myself from the ground up. There's a great deal to be done, a very great deal. And I need to work very, very hard spiritually, mentally, and physically. I'm looking at my level of consciousness and how I'm employing it. I'm learning to push myself.
There you just have a sample of some. And we intentionally chose not to use any of those that are considered exceptional, because sometimes people hear major changes and transformations. And I said, don't put any of those on. Just put just wonderful experiences. By the way, I believe millennials could really get insight by attending of how to get into a real life instead of the life they're currently living. Luann, real quick, if people want to come to help the station, WBAI, give me your number, please.
Surely, it's 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008.
Good. Look forward to seeing people when they're down there. You got plenty of time to make your plans to get there. But it'll be a week or two that could change your life. Now, we're going to end our program today. I'm not going to play the millennials in the workforce, Simon Sinek, because it's 12 minutes long. I'll save that for tomorrow. But we're going to end with a six-minute audio clip about our educational system. I found it very, very enjoyable to listen to and deep in its concept. I hope you do too. Please listen.
Albert Einstein once said, everybody's a... Albert Einstein once said, everybody's a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, today on trial we have modern day schooling. Glad you could come. Not only does he make fish climb trees, but also makes them climb down and do a 10-mile run. Tell me, school, are you proud of the things you've done? Turning millions of people into robots, do you find that fun? Do you realize how many kids relate to that fish swimming upstream in class, never finding their gifts, thinking they are stupid, believing they are useless? Well, the time has come. No more excuses. I call school to the stand and accuse him of killing creativity, individuality, and being intellectually abusive. He's an ancient institution that has outlived his usage. So, Your Honor, this concludes my opening statement, and if I may present the evidence of my case, I will prove it.
Proceed.
Exhibit A. Here's a modern-day phone. Recognize it? Here's a phone from 150 years ago. Big difference, right? Stay with me. Here's a car from today, and here's a car from 150 years ago. Big difference, right? Well, get this. Here's a classroom of today, and here's a class we used 150 years ago. Now, ain't that a shame? In literally more than a century, nothing has changed. Yet you claim to prepare students for the future? But with evidence like that, I must ask, do you prepare students for the future or the past? I did a background check on you and let the record show that you were made to train people to work in factories, which explains why you put students in straight rows, nice and neat, tell them sit still, raise your hand if you want to speak, give them a short break to eat, and for 8 hours a day, tell them what to think. Oh, and make them compete to get an A, a letter which determines product quality, hence grade A of meat. I get it. Back then, times were different. We all have a past. I myself am no Gandhi. But today, we don't need to make robot zombies. The world has progressed. And now we need people who think creatively, innovatively, critically, independently, with the ability to connect. See, every scientist will tell you that no two brains are the same. And every parent with two or more children will confirm that claim. So please explain why you treat students like cookie cutter frames or snapback hats, giving them this one-size-fits-all crap.
Watch your language.
Sorry, Your Honor, but if a doctor prescribed the exact same medicine to all of his patients, the results will be tragic. So many people will get sick, yet when it comes to school, this is exactly what happens. This educational malpractice where one teacher stands in front of 20 kids, each one having different strengths, different needs, different gifts, different dreams, and you teach the same thing the same way? That's horrific. Ladies and gentlemen, the defendant should not be acquitted. This may be one of the worst criminal offenses ever to be committed. And let's mention the way you treat your employees.
Objection.
Overruled. I want to hear this.
It's a shame. I mean, teachers have the most important job on the planet, yet they're underpaid? No wonder so many students are shortchanged. Let's be honest. Teachers should earn just as much as doctors, because a doctor can do heart surgery and save the life of a kid, but a great teacher can reach the heart of that kid and allow him to truly live. See, teachers are heroes that often get blamed, but they're not the problem. They work in a system without many options or rights. Curriculums are created by policymakers, most of which have never taught a day in their life. Just obsessed with standardized tests. They think bubbling in a multiple choice question will determine success. That's outlandish. In fact, these tests are too crude to be used and should be abandoned, but don't take my word for it. Take Frederick J. Kelly, the man who invented standardized testing, who said, and I quote, "These tests are too crude to be used and should be abandoned." Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, if we continue down this road, the results will be lethal. I don't have much faith in school, but I do have faith in people. And if we can customize healthcare, cars, and Facebook pages, then it is our duty to do the same for education, to upgrade it, change it, do away with school spirit, because that's useless. Unless we're working to bring the spirit out of each and every student, that should be our task. No more common core. Instead, let's reach the core of every heart in every class. Sure, math is important, but no more than art or dance. Let's give every gift an equal chance. I know this sounds like a dream, but countries like Finland are doing impressive things. They have shorter school days. Teachers make a decent wage. Homework is non-existent, and they focus on collaboration instead of competition. But here's the kicker, boys and girls. Their educational system outperforms every other country in the world. Other places like Singapore are succeeding rapidly. Schools like Montessori, programs like Khan Academy. There is no single solution, but let's get moving. Because while students may be 20% of our population, they are 100% of our future. So let's attend to their dreams, and there's no telling what we can achieve. This is a world in which I believe, a world where fish are no longer forced to climb trees. I rest my case.
And there you have it. More to think about. I'm Gary Nall. I want to thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day.